Welcome to Equipping the Saints. I want to take a few minutes today to talk with you about a very special book that I consider to be extremely important for our whole series, and it is simply called A John Study. Now, as I travel around the world and have an opportunity to observe the church, one of the things that concerns me so much is that I find everywhere that I go, people are practicing a religion. And what I want you to know is that Christianity is not a religion. Religion is man reaching up, trying to get a hold of God, performing in such a way somehow so that God, you know, will accept him. And people who are doing that are basically motivated by fear because they're not sure where they're going to go when they die, and because they have no assurance, they are following all sorts of things. But Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so one of the things that I want to do is to go through the truth of Christianity, because only in Christianity do you find, you know, God reaching down for fallen mankind, drawing and trying to call him into a personal relationship with himself. And, you know, for 20 years of my life, I knew about God intellectually, but I had never met him personally. And then at age 20, while I was in the military, sweating out a military court-martial because my life, I didn't know the Lord, and I'd become a teenage alcoholic. I'd gone to jail twice. Now I'm in the military, sweating out a military court-martial. And I mean, I am in more trouble than I have ever been in my entire life. And I'm crying out to God because I'm thinking, you know, if this is the way life is going to be, I'm not sure that I want to stay around for 20 more years like this. And so I was searching and crying out to God. Now, I'd spent life, you know, going to Sunday school as a young child, and they were teaching us all of the Bible stories. But I have to confess to you, I never really understood what it was all about. And as a result of that, by the time I was 14 years of age, I thought, you know, the church really doesn't have any answers. And they're trying to teach me not to do all of these things. But as I see my friends out doing them, they seem to be having the time of their life. And so I came to a place where I just punted Christianity, and I went out and I violated every law that I had ever been taught, thinking that somehow, you know, I'm going to find this missing piece within my life. And beloved, I want to tell you, you know, every person, because of sin, this place that God was to occupy in their heart is empty. And so they're out there trying to fill it with all kinds of things, with alcohol, with drugs, with immorality, doing everything because there is this emptiness down inside. And I know about that emptiness, and I went through that, and I did fill it, you know, with alcohol, with immorality, and with everything, you know, hoping that somehow it would fill that gap, and because nothing would fill it. Why? Because it was a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. And so I'm out here doing all of these things, breaking every law that God ever commanded man not to be involved in doing, and yet I was doing it, and my life was miserable. There was guilt, there was shame, and I thought, I just don't want to go on. And so as I'm crying out to God, God in his grace heard me, and because I was in the military, the chaplains had arranged what they called a preaching mission. They had invited a minister from the outside to come and to minister to us. And that day, as I sat there and as I listened to him, he was a man. He said, I have a sermon I want to deliver. I have no peace to deliver it. And since I'm going to be here for several days, I'll have more than opportunity to deliver that. And what I feel led to do this morning is just to share my own personal testimony with you and tell you how I came to Christ and how God had called me into his ministry. And so that morning as I sat and listened, I realized that as a young man, he was searching for the very same thing that I was searching for. He had walked the road one direction. I had walked the road the other direction. Neither of us had found it. But then he said one day, a man explained to him how Jesus Christ had come into the world, had died and paid the penalty for our sin, so that man once again could be restored to fellowship and communion with God. And that morning he said, you know, some of you men have come to the end of your rope. And I thought, sir, if you only knew how near the end of my rope, because at that point in my life, I was literally contemplating ending my life because I couldn't find anything in life worth living for. And he said, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is in the business, first of all, of changing men's life and giving them meaning and purpose and direction for life. And I realized that I had no purpose for my life. My friends wanted to be doctors, lawyers, Indians, name it. But I didn't want to be any of those things. And I thought, why am I here? Man has got to have a purpose. I don't have a purpose. And it almost drove me mad trying to figure out what life was all about. And when he said God can give a man a purpose for his life and bring joy and peace and contentment and satisfaction, those were the very things that I was searching for. And so that day, he told us about the love of God and how man originally was there. And I'm going to take and put a illustration up on the screen so that you can follow with me. But man was here in this beautiful fellowship and communion with Almighty God. And as a result of that, there was a joy and peace. But one day something happened in that garden, and man sinned, and now God was separated from sinful man. And we could take and illustrate that another way by taking and drawing two cliffs and putting man on one side and then putting God over here on the other side. And again, it was that sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that all of us have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And I understood that for my life. Then, you know, he pointed out how the wage for our sin was death, which was spiritual separation from God. And then there would come a day in our life that each of us would stand in the presence of God to be judged. Now, that doesn't paint a very, very pretty picture. And man down through the ages has understood that, and they didn't like it any better than we liked that. And so man begins trying to make his way back to God through good works, through religion, through ethics and a high moral standard. But because of our sin, we're underneath the sentence of death. But the Bible tells us in John chapter 5 and in verse 24, where Jesus said, he who hears my voice and believes on him who sent me, first of all, has everlasting life. Then he shall not come into condemnation. Why? Because he is passed out of death and into life. Now, if man has everlasting life, what does that do? Well, first of all, it is going to take and cancel out death in our life. And then he shall not come to judgment. That is going to cancel out the judgment. Why? Because man has already passed out of death into life. And when a man comes and places his faith in what Jesus Christ has done upon the cross so that man can be restored to fellowship and communion with God. At that moment, he is born again into God's family. He becomes one of God's children, and now he has everlasting life in the presence of Almighty God. And so Jesus Christ is the one. He died and paid the penalty so that you and I can be restored to God. And as a result of that, now we have everlasting life in the presence of God. Now, I probably would have gone to practicing a religion, but this man helped me to understand I hadn't joined a religion. I hadn't, you know, joined a church. What I had done was come into a personal relationship with the God who loved me. And as a result of that relationship, now I needed to know how to develop that relationship with God. And there I was taught that the way you develop that is that you need to allow God to speak to you. And the way that God speaks to us is through His Word. And this man, you know, said, I want you to promise me you will read the Gospel of John five times before you ever read another thing in the Scripture. And so over the next 5 days, I read through the Gospel of John once a day. That's 21 chapters, more of the Bible than I had ever read in my entire life. But as I began to read and study the Word of God, all at once this great joy began to take place in my life. Why? Because now the Spirit of God lived and dwelled within me. That empty place, that vacuum that was created, you know, when sin entered into my life that I'd tried to fill with everything, was now filled by the Spirit of God. And as I began to read and as I began to study, here was God speaking to me, confirming, you know, in my heart that, Dave, I love you. This is me speaking to you. And as a result of my prayers, now I was allowed to speak back to God. And through this dialogue, the two of us, you know, found this wonderful relationship. So what I want you to see is that Christianity was always meant to be a relationship. Here is God reaching down for fallen mankind and drawing him into a relationship with himself. And beloved, you know, many of you have never found that relationship. And God is calling you as certainly as he called me. And is all you have to do is just simply say, you know, Father, I want that relationship. I realize that it is a sin that has caused this separation. Please forgive that sin in my life. And you can pray this with me. Forgive that sin in my life. Come and live and dwell within me and help me to become the kind of man or woman that you always intended that we should be. And beloved, when you do that, you have entered into that relationship. And as you pick up this Bible and begin reading it and studying it, now you are allowing God to confirm those truths here in your heart and assurance that you belong to Him. So let me encourage you to pray that prayer if you have never prayed it and ask Christ to come into your life. Now, before the break, we were talking about that prayer of how a person enters into that personal relationship. And I want to tell you that when I entered into that personal relationship, the joy, the peace, the happiness, the contentment, the purpose that came into my life, beloved, I'm going to tell you, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Those were the things that I had searched for out in the world and did not find it, as all they left me was broken and guilt and shame in my life. And I know that many of you are there and you need to come to Christ. And again, is all you have to do, that simple prayer, Father, forgive me for my sin. I am inviting you to come and live and dwell within me. Help me to be that kind of person. and give me that gift of everlasting life so that I can be in your presence forever. Because if you pray that simple little prayer, I'm going to tell you, God is listening. He sent Jesus to die because he loves you and wants you to have that gift of everlasting life. But again, once you have that, you'll either go to developing a relationship or practicing a religion. And for most people, they go to practicing a religion because nobody ever explains how do you enter into this relationship you're talking about. And I had some people who guided me very, very carefully in those early days. And so that's the reason I came along and created this little book called the John Study. And we're going to tell you how to get this. And I encourage every one of you to write for it because we will give it to you for free. And this is a book designed to help you learn how to develop this relationship. And when you get this book, when you open it up, in the very front, it's going to help you to understand that there are four sections, and I'm going to put that up on the monitor so you can see what those four sections are. The first section is a Bible study of the Gospel of John. You're going to start reading that, and I encourage you like I did. Somebody challenged me, read it five times, which I did. And while you are reading, now you can begin doing a Bible study on that. And then the second thing is this daily reading guide. In the book, I'm going to show you that in a few minutes, but there is a section in there that breaks this up, the gospel, into 31 days worth of reading. You will have completed the Gospel of John. And then I have created the third division there, which is spending time with God, and I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. And then at the very back, there are four passages which you will memorize, and all of those have to do with the assurance of your relationship with God. Now, I want to come back to the Bible study, first of all, and help you to see that there are four studies. And if you did one of these each week, well, then for 4 weeks or for 31 days, it would just kind of guide you through there. And the very first study has to do with man's condition without a Savior, because we are lost and we've got that empty hole in our heart. We're trying to fill it with everything. But then in the second, it talks about the need for a Savior, who Jesus Christ is, why he came, why he died, and why we need to receive him. And then in that third lesson, what it is going to do, it is going to deal with salvation. How do you find it so that you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you were to die this day, that you will go immediately to be in the presence of God? Because the Bible teaches believers to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, and at long last will be in his presence forever. And then the fourth lesson deals with the new life that Christ has come to give to you. And that's this exciting life filled with joy and peace and contentment and all the things that you had hoped and knew that life ought to be. So those are the four Bible studies that you are going to do. And again, I suggest if you did one each week, then it would take you 4 weeks. And as you do that, then we're going to come to a reading guide. And I'm going to put that up on the monitor so that you can see it. It tells you on the very first day what you are going to do. And incidentally, that's page 25 and 26 in your book. But you're going to read chapter 1, and you're going to go to the first verse and read through 28. And that deals with who Jesus is. And then the second day, you read the next portion, what other people had to say, and it just guides you day by day, where you're reading about 25 verses a day. And as you do that, then I want you to use this in spending time with God, because what you're allowing God to do is now begin speaking to you. And so I want you to see that the third part has this little devotion that you spend with the Lord, which I put up here on the monitor. And so let's just take a moment and look at that. The first thing that you do when you get up in the morning and start your day with the Lord as a believer, even as Jesus did, said, rising a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place, and then he prayed. So now back to our monitor there, and we see that after we have prayed for guidance and understanding, then we're going to read John 1:1-28. And then here I've given you kind of an outline where here things to consider. You have how the Word became is eternal. And then from verses 14 and 15, how the Word became incarnate. And then John's witness about this incarnate Word, which is 19-28. And then there's a place for your observation. And any questions that you have, you just write it down. And then is there some prayer or some application that you should be making to this? And so for each of those 31 days of reading, there is this little guide that you simply fill out for each day. And then in the very last, there are four verses at the very end, and they're on the back cover of the book. And they are perforated so that you can take and tear those out. And week by week, as you do the study, then you memorize. So we've got John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the Son of God. So Jesus is the way to God in this peace and happiness. Then in the second verse, it's John 10:27-29, where he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to take them out of their Father's hand. And then there's John 5:24, and you memorize that. And then there is John, 1 John 5:11-13. Beloved, these are beautiful promises that God has given you about eternal life, being with him because of what Christ has done on the cross for us. Now, I want to go back and I want to show you that at the very beginning of the chapter, there is a little assignment guide, and I want to go through that with you. And in this assignment guide, it says on the first day, complete your readings, and you're going to do that. And then secondly, each day you're going to spend time with God. And then during that week, you're going to complete your Bible study. And then you're going to memorize that first verse. So every week, you are doing all four parts of this book simultaneously. And beloved, I promise you that if you will do that, then God will reveal himself to you. And this assurance will come in your heart that you are now one of his children and have everlasting life. So I encourage you, write for this book. We are willing to send it to you free, because this tells you how to go about beginning to develop your relationship with God. God doesn't want you practicing a religion, and if you do, you do it out of fear. But here, as you get to know God day by day, you will look forward to that time together as He brings this joy and peace into your heart. So write for your book.